teaching that it is all done from a background of love. We love because you first loved us. There is nothing that can be denied in the promises that you give, that you will never leave us, you will be faithful to us. And Lord, we need to model our lives on that love that you gave. Father, on sacrificial love, on wonderful love, on amazing love given without any limit. Lord, we pray that you would pour that love into this place this morning, and Lord, that we would be blessing your name as we worship you together.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. Jesus from the streets.
Amen. Well, you are all very, very welcome this morning. And I hope that we are going out online. It would be really remiss of me not to mention that if my mum is watching, it's her 73rd wedding anniversary today. Dad's not here to share it, but it was the day that they got married 73 years ago. So we have longevity of marriage and love going on in our lives, in our families. Let's pray as we come together. Father God, be with us. We have spoken the name of Jesus. We want to chase away the darkness and the shadows. And Lord, bring your light into our lives. Lord, we bless you this morning, and we want to praise and honor your holy name with everything that we have. Lord, we give you our hearts. Doesn't matter what relationships we're in our earthly life, we want to be in relationship with you. And Lord, we pray that you would teach us to be faithful and to walk with you every day of our lives. Amen. Now, I'd like to try something a little bit different. Nathan quite often gets us to read things, but I'd like to split this up and then come together again. So this is Hebrews 10, and I want to start with verse 19. And I'd like that section over there to read verse 19. Then I'd like you guys in the middle to read verse 20. Then this section over here to read 21. The balcony, you have to shout up, to read 22. And then I think it's really important that we read 23 to 25 together. So I'll read with everyone and get us all going. So it's the left-hand side as I look at you, to start with verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened up for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. All of us, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Let's stand and worship that God and do just as we have said. We have a strong and certain hope because we know he lives.
Father's throne of grace.
enthroned above the galaxies, until his glory bursts the skies and all creation joins the cry. I know he lives. Jesus is alive and he reigns in glory now. I know he lives. And with him we'll rise. Hallelujah. I know he lives.
And as we come into every relationship, whatever we do, it's not of ourselves, but through Christ in me. What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer?
Gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer. There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this the night is dark, but I am not forsaken, for by my side the Savior he will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, till he hath me heed, his power is displayed. No fate I dread, I know I am forgiven. The future sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and he was raised to overthrow the grave. Jesus!
Now we are going to have communion later in the service, later than we normally do. But the presence of the table that declares Christ's love for us is still very present in this service. And our next song says, "I wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. My song shall ever be, how marvellous." A rest after that. Do take your seat. No, it's good to have that ringing in our ears. How marvellous, how wonderful is my Saviour's love for me. And hopefully that's the little earworm that you go out with from this service. Nothing can beat the Saviour's love for you. Now then, thinking of the children, which I was just then, are there any children who have had a birthday in the last couple of days or who have a birthday in the next couple of days?
One at the back.
Okay. Oh, back at the top. Top of the back. Come on down. Wonderful. While we're making our way down, let me remind you, do have a read of this. There's one or two things that you might assume in half term they're not on, and they are on. And there are some things that you might think are going to be on, but they're not on. So it's important that you check, and do use the prayer section as well. People have been asking me what the deacons are doing to be deacon of the week. Well, it's just whoever's next in the alphabet, that's all. I thought we could pray for them one by one, and their families and everything that they have on their plate at the moment. So that's how you get to be deacon of the week. You're just next in the alphabet going through the deacons. And don't forget to read this, the bit on the third page it is. They're about the feedback that we had and some of the things that we want to be going on. So it's like a little mini magazine every week. Have a good browse through that and find out what's going on. There we go. Sorry, honey. Blah, blah, blah. So you are... Sorry, your name? Rebecca. And how old are you going to be? 15. Wow, okay. I can vaguely remember 15. Is there anything in the birthday box that you would like to take, Rebecca? Pink flamingo, Bluey the dog, water bottles, or... I've got quite a swanky one there that I've knocked over. I don't know. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, my handbag's here. Ah, oh, he's cute. I think he has to be called Hamish the Highland Cow. Oh, let's sing happy birthday to Rebecca. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Well done, thank you. Sorry, Rebecca. Okay, so in a few moments, the children are going to leave us, but not way two. So if you are normally in way two, you are not going out this morning. So Ignite 1 and 2 and way 1 are going out, but way 2 are staying in for the sermon. So you should know which group you're in if that applies to you. The oldest group are staying put. And let's just pray for the children as they go off to their groups. Father, we do thank you for the buzz of noise and for having every generation represented in the building. Lord, we pray that you would bless them now as they go off to their different groups. Whatever the activities and the teaching and things that have been prepared by the group leaders, Lord, we ask that it would speak to their young hearts. And Lord, that they would know that we love them and that you love them too. So Father, be with all the groups now, we pray, from 0 up to 14. And be with us as we remain in the service too. Amen. So I think I've got about the cut-off point right. So everyone up to way 1. Can leave us now. As they go out, we are going to pray again, so please join me as we pray again. Father God, we thank you for all that you give to us. Lord, we pray for Nathan, who's bringing the message this morning, and the words that you have given him. And Lord, we pray for our relationships. Lord, we know that we don't always get it right. And we ask that you would forgive us when we get it wrong, most particularly in our relationship with you. Father, forgive us when we stray away. And we aren't faithful to all that you would have us be doing. Lord, forgive us when you aren't the focus of every breath. Father, we pray that you would draw near to us, that you would be closer to us. and that you would not let us stray away. No matter where our feet go, we would be walking with you. And Lord, we do pray for those people who need a particular touch from you. Lord, in the world, with everything that's going on and the grief that people are bearing at the moment, Lord, we pray that you would be in those situations, and Lord, that each local church would be supporting and encouraging the families who are grieving. Lord, here in Germany and across the world, Father, we pray that your local church would be your hands on earth. And Father, we pray for our community. Lord, we thank you for the ways in which we see your light shining. And Lord, we pray that that would continue as we reach out and share the love of Christ. Father, in our hearts, hear those that we pray for. Hear the names that we are bearing up to you, that they would come to you. Lord, we love you and we thank you that you love us. Amen. We're just going to sing one short song before Nathan comes up, and it's going to be "The Lord's My Shepherd." And it's that sanctity of our relationship, isn't it? I will trust in you alone.
The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me I will try.
Please do take your seats in the presence of the Lord. Good morning to each and every one of you. Very good to see you this morning. And thanks to Bev and the worship team for leading us in worship so far in our service. It's good to be in the presence of our great God, our Heavenly Father, our King and our Lord. He's great, isn't he? He is a wonderful, wonderful Father. All right, well, we're going to get right into the Word. I don't want to keep you long today, but there is a very important message today to bring to your attention concerning perhaps a topic that we don't talk about much in the church, but we're going to address today through the help of the Lord, and that's the area of sex and relationships. Would you say that with me? Sex and relationships. I'm going to read three brief passages. We're going to start in the Old Testament. Again, a book that is very seldom read in church, but it's in the Bible. The Song of Songs, or sometimes known as Song of Solomon. So we're going to read from chapter 7, verse 10 to 13. And it reads like this. And this is a wonderful imagery of a wife and a husband sharing their love for each other. The whole book is about the love between this man and this woman, Solomon and his wife. But also it portrays the love that God has for us, his people. And this is the wife's appeal for her husband. Look what she has to say. I belong to my beloved, or lover, and his desire is for me. I belong to him, and his desire is for me. Come, my beloved, let us go to the countryside. Let us spend the night in the villages. Let us go early in the vineyards and to see if the vines have budded, if their blossoms have opened, and if the pomegranates are in bloom. There I will give you my love. The mandrake sent out their fragrance, and at our door is every delicacy, both new and old, that I have stored up for you, my beloved. Now we're going to come to the New Testament, Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, and we're going to read from verse number 6. And it says, but at the beginning, can we say the beginning? At the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. And for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his, what? His wife. And the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. And verse 9? Let's read verse 9 together. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. What God has put together, let no one separate. Our final reading is going to be from 1 Thessalonians and chapter 4. Chapter 4. And Paul again picks up this same theme of relationship, of love, of union. And he has this to say to the church. He says this, from verse number 3. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust, like the pagans who do not know God. And that in this matter, no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or a sister. The Lord will punish all those who commit such sins, as we told you and warned you long before. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray now that you would just speak to us, open our eyes that we may behold wonderful things from your word. Lord, this is a challenging topic, but we know that you will be with us and to lead and guide us. We pray most of all, when we leave this place, we'll leave knowing more of you, more of your word, and that we will be able to join in with the old hymn writer, that we can sing together, that we surrender all to you, all to Jesus, we surrender. So bless us now, in Jesus' name, Amen. Amen. One of the most influential quotes that has garnered the attention of countless preachers throughout the ages, a quote that has been a major inspiration for me and a constant reminder as I proclaim God's word, is a very simple but profound quote. And it says this. It's a quote that's been attributed to a great Reformed theologian by the name of Karl Barth. And he says this: preachers must preach with a Bible in one hand and a newspaper in the other hand. A Bible in one hand and a newspaper in the other. In other words, church, preachers must be aware and engaged with the times and have a good understanding of what's going on in the world that we live in today. It's not that we should be influenced or swayed by the world, but that we should have a good awareness of what is impacting the lives of those we are seeking to minister to. Jesus himself was the great example of this. He would often use relevant examples, everyday parables and stories and illustrations that people would be familiar with in his day to proclaim and convey a spiritual truth. And church, I believe the remarks of Karl Barth and the legacy and the great example that Jesus has left for us is not just relevant for preachers and teachers, but every Christian, every believer should be aware of what's going on around us day by day. I believe that God has not called us to live in isolation, to be aloof, to be unaware of what's going on in our culture, in our society, and those issues that are affecting our young people and all of our adults day by day. I don't believe that Jesus has called the church to bury our heads in the sand. We're not called to be oblivious to the world and its issues, but we ought to be aware. We ought to have some sense of knowledge and understanding of what is impacting and affecting the lives of our people. We ought to be aware of the challenges affecting those in our community, our young people who are with us today. We can't just ignore the questions that they have. We can't just ignore the needs that people have concerning faith and life today. And perhaps one of the most, the premier, one of the most overlooked subjects in the entire Bible and throughout our sermons and ministry as a church is the subject of sex and relationships. Sex, this three-letter word, this intriguing word that is very popular in our world today, but yet still it is considered a taboo subject, especially for those within the church. Because discussions about sex and relationships are rarely held in the church, largely due to the perhaps private nature of the topic, which can make, if we're honest, conversations about it quite uncomfortable and embarrassing, to say the least. But allow me this morning just to break the ice, if you will. Because whether we like it or not, people are talking about it. People are thinking about it, and people are asking questions about it. And when it comes to the world's views and standards on sex and relationships, we know that the world is not silent. The world is preaching loud and clear concerning the topic of sex and relationships. Even when it comes to the commercial nature of society in the world today, Sex is often used as a marketing tool and a ploy, as the saying goes, sex sells. But I believe that it's important, church, that even our young people who are here today, and even all of us as adults, that we don't just hear about sex and relationships from the world. But it's important that in the church that we are teaching concerning this topic. It's important that young people just don't hear about sex and relationships on social media. It's important that they just don't hear about it from their favorite influencers in the world and the famous TikTokers of this world. Because if the church is silent, please know that the world will not follow suit. So I believe that it's time to break the ice. It's time to address these important matters and to hear not what the world has to say about it, but to hear what God has to say about it through his word. Because for those parents here and grandparents, when you send your lovely children and young people off to school, can I encourage you? Burst a bubble this morning. When you send them off to school, when they're in the playgrounds at lunchtime, they're not just talking with their friends and having conversations about algebra. They're not just having conversations about of mice and men. They still study that in school today? Is that? I'm showing my age. I'm sorry. They're not just talking about dollhouses and Play-Doh and Lego. But young people, yes, your children, yes, your grandchildren, they are asking questions about sex and relationships. And the reality, church, even for some of us who are adults here, perhaps we too are asking questions about sex and relationships. So it's time to break the ice. I know it's uncomfortable. I know it can be embarrassing. But if we don't address and talk about sex and relationships from God's view and from his word, then the reality is that someone, somewhere, will be educating our young people about sex and relationships, and it's more than likely that God will not be at the center of their teaching. So here's my first point for us today to take away. In your sermon notes, you'll see, if you have some pens, there's some blanks. And I want to give you to fill in the blanks here. This is to break the ice. It's important that we get this. Here it is. Sex in and of itself is not evil. Can we say that together? Sex in and of itself is not evil. It's a God-given gift to humanity. I'm going to give you those to fill in the blanks. It's a God-given gift to humanity. Sex is not evil in and of itself. It's not a bad thing in and of itself. It is a God-given gift to humanity. You see, the problem with our understanding, especially within the church in Christendom, when it comes to sex and relationships, particularly with sex, is that it's often viewed through the lenses of something negative, sinful, or illicit. But sex, within its very core nature, from God's original plan, is an innate, God-given gift to humanity that we can enjoy, that's given by God. In other words, it is a natural inclination. It is a God-given gift and desire that we all have, that is given to us by God. not by the devil. That's why, as we read, God told Adam, therefore shall a man leave his mother and his father and be united, cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. That is God's original plan for sex and relationships. So it's a good thing. It's a healthy thing. It is pleasing to God. And it should not be viewed innately as evil or bad. It's a gift from God. And we see this, church, in this wonderful poetic passage in Song of Songs of how a wife is longing for her husband, longing for relationship, longing to be with him. She says, I belong to my beloved, and his desire is for me. Come, my beloved, let us go to the countryside. Isn't that beautiful words? We can learn a lot, young people, from the Bible about how to speak to each other, how to engage with each other in conversation. When I was a kid growing up in school, I was quite shy to have conversations with the opposite sex. But I learned even through the Bible that if you want some tips on how to engage and speak to the opposite sex, just read the Bible. Look at this. Come, my beloved. Let us go to the countryside. Let us spend the night together in the villages. Beautiful words. Sex and relationships, it's a natural part of life. And it doesn't have to be considered a bad or a negative thing. So my first challenge this morning is this. Do we have a healthy perspective on sexual intimacy? Do we just see it as bad, sinful, illicit, evil? We don't talk about it. Hush! But we have to understand that because we have seen it being warped through the lenses of the world, but God has ordained it. God has arranged it for us to enjoy and to embrace as human beings. And let the church say amen. Amen. But here's the problem. Can we say the problem? The problem with sex and relationships, although innately it's a God-given gift and it's good and it's pleasing to God, but where it can go wrong, the problem is that we sometimes want to do things our way. That's where the problem comes in with it. From the very beginning, when God created Adam and Eve and they were united, we see that shortly after, in their time in the Garden of Eden, that they sinned, that they listened to the cunning temptation of the serpent, and they ate from the tree that was forbidden to eat from. And as a result, sin entered into the world. What is sin? Simply disobedience against God, his word, his way, his righteousness. And when it comes to sex and relationships, God has ordained it to be pure and to be holy and to be righteous. But because of sin, because of the disobedience of humanity, we want to do things not God's way, but we want to do things our own way. And whenever we do that, we go outside of God's original plan for sex and relationships. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul echoes this, and he encourages the believers in the early church to do this. He says, each of you should learn to control your own bodies. You've got to bring it, the old King James Version says, under subjection. Because all of us have yearnings and desires that sometimes can get out of control. And if we don't have it under control, we may go outside of the will of God and engage in behavior that is not a part of his plan. It's almost like I like to, me and Anna, we order things on Amazon sometimes. And I noticed on Amazon that they have now what's called, on Amazon Prime, they have try before you buy. Try before you buy. And what they can do is you can order an item and you have 7 days to make your mind up whether you want to keep the item or not. And then you can send it back within that time frame and you will not be charged for the item. Try before you buy. But in the same way, in our world today, many adopt this very same principle when it comes to sex and relationships. Try before you buy. Many today have no boundaries when it comes to sex and relationships. Many just want to enjoy the gift of sex and relationships without any sense of commitment to each other. Someone sent me, in preparation for this sermon, one of our members sent me an article that just blew my mind about this young lady who is garnering much attention in the world and in the news media today. And she has an ambition, her passion and desire is to sleep with 1,000 men in one day. That's her desire. I was shocked and horrified that she's been given time and space on our media outlets promoting this ideology that it's a good thing to break the records and to go down as the first person to be able to sleep with over 1,000 people in one day. Church, these are the examples that the world are looking to even today. Unfortunately, church, the world has developed this try before you buy mentality. Now we don't want to commit to each other anymore. But as Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, all things might be lawful to me, but not all things are beneficial. Yes, the law of the land may say it's okay to sleep with who you want, do whatever you want, as long as you don't break the law. But we are not governed by what the law of the world says. We are governed by what God's word says. So I want to encourage our young people and all of us here today. I know there's so much craziness in the world all around us today. And there's so much liberty all around us as to what people are doing and making decisions and choices about sex and relationships. But I want to lovingly encourage us all today. Allow our views and on sex and relationships not to be shaped by the world standards, but allow them to be shaped by the word of God. Allow them to be centered upon what God has to say through his word and through his will. Paul emphasized the importance of commitment, because sex and relationships, God's original intention was that we don't just enjoy the freedom of sex without the commitment of a loving marriage. That a man and a woman would come together and in commitment and devotion to each other. It would not just be about physical intimacy, but they would make a commitment that they would journey through this life, through the ups and the downs, through the twists and the turns of life, that they're going to stick it out until the end. What God has joined together, let no one tear it apart. That is God's original plan for sex and relationships. And I know that sounds outdated. I know that sounds old-fashioned today. But that is the word of God. And our responsibility is not just to promote and to preach what sounds good, but we have to stand on what God's word is teaching us to do. Amen?
Amen.
So sex is good, relationships are good. But the problem is, Sometimes we want to do it our own way. But here's the solution. Here's my final point. Enjoy sex and relationships God's way. Can we say that together? Enjoy sex and relationships God's way. I love this passage. I didn't read this at the start, but in Proverbs chapter 5, Solomon, the same one who penned Song of Songs, he has this to say by way of encouragement to young men. He says, drink water from your own cistern and running water from your own well. He says, why should your springs flow in the streets, your streams of water in the public squares? Let them be yours alone, never to be shared with strangers. May your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. Beautiful words from Solomon, encouraging the men that you can enjoy the gift of sex and intimacy and share your love, not just with everyone, but with that special someone that you have made a commitment to journey through life with together. That when you love someone from your heart, that there will be a devotion one for the other, that you do not want to go outside of that union. That because you love that individual so dearly, that your commitment for her or for him is so vast and so deep that there is no one else that you would even consider but your spouse. That is the commitment and the love that God wants all of us to have when it comes to sex and relationships. That we ought to have a devotion one for the other. Now, let me say this for those of our young people who are here. And this is a question that perhaps many are asking. Well, when should I start dating? There's a lot going on in the world today. Nathan, we've just had Valentine's Day. And people are writing cards and saying, you're my crush. And, you know, I'm young and I'm a teenager and I have feelings and I'm vacillating in my mind. I'm thinking about when is the right time for me to start dating. Well, I believe, number one, speak to your parents and follow their advice. But from a biblical point of view, what I would say is this, and what was told to me as a young man growing up, is that we have to be careful with just dating without any intention for commitment. So, number one, am I dating just because it's a fun thing to do? Am I dating because, well, you know, I just feel like having a bit of fun? Or am I dating because I feel I'm at a place in my life now where I can really think about making a genuine commitment to someone? That is the question I believe we have to ask. That is the next level. That is the opposite, really, from what the world would teach today. That it's okay just to have some fun. You're young, enjoy yourself. But I believe from God's perspective that it's best to sort some things out first in your life. Focus on your education. Get yourself in a place mentally and spiritually that you're prepared now that when you meet someone, you can have a relationship that's on a deeper level. That you can enhance one another. Because if there's no maturity, if you're not ready for a relationship, then you may find that you're just wasting time. And you may get yourself into situations that you begin to break even God's law and his word, and get yourself into situations that you may later regret. So that's my one piece of advice. Ask yourself that question. Am I ready mentally, spiritually? Am I in a good place? Am I mature enough for a relationship? Now, I'm not speaking about primary school, you know, running around a playground playing kiss chase. I'm not talking about that. You know, I did that. That's just childlike behavior. But I'm talking about if you're a teenager, that's a good question to ask. Am I ready? Am I ready for commitment? You may be besotted with someone and you think, man, I really like this person. They stand out to me. I really like them. But the question is, you have to understand, if you're 16 and you're thinking that way, remember, when you get to 21, you may not be thinking that way about the person anymore. Come on, who's been there before? You met someone at 16, and it's like the sun was just glistening on their face. But you see that same person now at 21, and you're thinking, what was I thinking? What on earth was I thinking? So we have to be careful not rushing into things at a stage in our lives when perhaps we're not prepared and we're not as mature. So that's a good measure, young people, to ask yourself, am I ready? Am I mature enough for a relationship? All right? So that's important to date, or what my parents would say, old word, courting. That's a word we don't hear anymore, courting. It was sort of a little level up from dating, that now we are actually looking towards marriage. We're dating with a purpose. We're not just dating to waste time, but we're dating because we see a future together with each other. Amen? That's important. Dating with purpose, dating with intention, dating with a commitment in view for a lifelong marriage together. And I love this, going back to the Song of Songs, we see that the wife's appeal for her husband in chapter 7 correlates with Solomon's encouragement for the men in Proverbs chapter 5. That they would have a passion for each other. They would share this commitment one for the other. And they would enjoy the fruit of their relationship together. So here's my challenge, my final challenge. Being a Christian doesn't mean that we cannot have fun or enjoy sexual intimacy with our spouses. However, it does require us to stay within the boundaries and the guidelines that God has outlined for us in His Word. Amen. But in closing, I've got to close with this encouragement. Well, Nathan, that's all well and good. You've said that we ought to seek God's word for guidelines concerning sex and relationships. That we're not to follow the example of the world, but we're to seek out what God has to say in His word about sex and relationships. But what happens if I've already gone against God's word? What happens if I've already crossed the line from the teachings of God's holy scriptures? What happens if I've already done things my way? Does that mean now that because I've already done things my way, well, there's no need to do things God's way anymore because it's too late? Absolutely not. I want to encourage anyone here today, young or adult, I want to encourage you today, if you have already done things your own way, if you have already perhaps gone against God's word concerning sex and relationships, I'm here to encourage you that the grace of God is sufficient for you. That if you would turn to Him, regardless of what you have done in the past, then I believe that God's grace is sufficient for you. There is hope for every single one of us, regardless of where we are at on this journey of sex and relationships. I don't believe that it's our job as a church to belittle or to look down on others that perhaps may have a different view on sex and relationships. I don't believe it's our job to judge people and to condemn people based upon their own lifestyles. But I believe that through the grace of God, that when we, as we've been singing about today, proclaim Jesus and the gospel that He gives, then through the Holy Spirit, He will teach. He will convict of sin. And He will draw all men and women boys and girls onto himself. Our job is to love people, to preach his word, not to stand on the world, but to preach the word. But I believe there's hope for all, regardless of where you are at on this journey of sex and relationships. I remember as a kid, one of the few times you would ever hear about sex and relationships in the church was when sometimes they would bring a woman out to the front and she would give an apology that she's now pregnant and she's not married. And I remember as a kid, I would ask my parents questions. Why have they brought this woman to the front of the church to make an apology because she is pregnant? And I often wondered, even as I got older, it's amazing how they would often put the woman at the front. As if it only takes one. Where's the man? It's just like the woman that was caught in the act of adultery in the Bible. Do you notice there's no mention about the man? We have to be careful, church, how we treat people, how we speak about people. And that's one of the things I struggle with, because, you know, even in our world today, and there are so many different opinions on certain things, but although I may have a theological position about sex and relationships, it does not mean, although my opinion may differ from someone else out in the world, it does not mean that I can't see the humanity in the person in the world. It does not mean that I have to think of that person as someone who is evil. I can still have a relationship. I can still shake their hand. I can still share the love of God with them, even though I may not agree with their lifestyle. Perhaps there's some young people here today. You've got questions and you're wondering, well, what does the church think about me? What does the church feel about my views? What does the church think about my friends? We've got to be honest, church. These are some real conversations that we're going to have. We can't just overlook. What do we do with those who come in the church who say, I have same-sex feelings? What do we do with those who are questioning their identity? What do we say? It's quiet. But I believe that through God's word, that God has called us not just to be silent, but we have to, as Karl Barth says, preach with a Bible in one hand, newspaper in the other. So I'm closing, but here's my appeal. I believe, as I've said many times from this pulpit, I believe that marriage is between a man and a woman. That's my personal theology. But that does not mean that I have the right to demean or to belittle or to degrade anyone else who may have a different position on it. My job is to love anyone, wherever they stand, with the love of Christ, because that's what Jesus would do. I grew up in a time when preachers would just preach horrific, shameful things from the pulpit about those they don't agree with. When did you ever see Jesus do that? When Jesus caught with a woman caught in adultery, he simply said to her, go your way. Your sin's been forgiven. Go away and sin no more. So I want to pray now, but I want to pray especially for our young people. I see them around the church today. And I want you to know that we love you. We're praying for you. We know it's challenging out there. And although perhaps we don't talk about it as much, we want you to know that this is a safe space and a safe environment for you. If you have questions, Ricky's here. He's our youth pastor. You can go to him. There are many other youth leaders. You can come to me. We want you to know that we love you, that we're here to help you, we're here to serve you. We're not just going to be silent and overlook these issues, these taboo subjects. But with the help of the Lord, we're going to come up with answers from God's word. You may not understand some of the answers. It may go against what's been taught in the world. But our job is not to give our opinion. Our job is to go to what the word of God says. But we do so in a way that is loving, compassionate and kind. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. It's been a tricky one today. But we thank you that you have called us to, it first and foremost, enjoy sex and relationships, that it's not in and of itself evil, but that it's good and pleasing in your sight. But we're mindful that from the beginning of creation, as sin entered into the world, that sometimes as human beings we want to do things our own way. And sometimes that is displeasing to you. And I pray, O Lord, that you would help us, forgive us when we get relationships and sex wrong. Would you forgive us when we go our own way? And like Paul's letter to the church, the Thessalonian church, that we don't control our bodies. We don't control our passions and our lusts. We pray for mercy and we pray for grace. And we pray especially, Lord, for our young people. They have so much to deal with today. So much vying for their attention. With the rise of social media and so much going on in the world today. But we pray that you would just protect them. We pray that you would keep them safe at school, when they're outside in the community, oh Lord. I pray, Lord, when there's different competing pieces of information coming into their ears about what is right, what is normal, what should be done, we pray that they would have the awareness and, Lord, the maturity to seek what you are saying in your word. That they would turn to you because you are the greatest one that they can have a relationship with in this life. So, Father, we just pray for strength as a church. We pray that we would be forgiving and loving as a community, that we would not look down on each other, but Father, we would share your love and that we would model Christ and his attitude and behavior with humanity. So we thank you now. May your blessing be upon each and every one of us as we seek to navigate this life of relationships and also sex. Help us to do it right and to be pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, for the young people who are here in the way, I'm going to be coming down to share with you shortly. And I want you to go away, and if you have any questions for me, when I do come down, we're going to talk more about this. So please get your questions prepared. If you have any questions on sex and relationships, I'm going to be coming down shortly. We're going to put the date out very soon with Ricky. And we're going to talk more about that. So that's for the young people. Please put your questions down. And I'll be coming down with Ricky very shortly. And we're going to talk more about sex and relationships. God bless you all. Thank you.
We are going to lead into our time of communion now. So if I can ask Nathan and the deacons to come back. And could somebody let way one know, please? I look in that general direction. Somebody who doesn't mind doing a few steps, do let way one know. And any, I don't know if the Ignite need to know as well, but definitely way one. I'd like us to use our next song as a prayer. And it just says, Jesus, take my life and lead me on. I will praise you, Lord. So let's remain seated and sing this before we come to communion. Lord, you have my heart. Jesus, take my life and lead me. The deacons want to come up for communion? Hello. You're leaving me on my own.
We have been talking about love and commitment, and there is no greater love than this, than what Jesus has done for us. He has demonstrated his commitment and his dedication to each and every one of us when we are in the right, but also when we're in the wrong. And he died for us even though we were in wrong. His commitment to us was, I still love them. They've gone astray. They've turned away from me. But I love them. I'm committed to them. I'm committed so much that I'm willing to give my life on the cross for my people. So if you're here today and you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then this meal is for you. This meal is a wonderful reminder of God's love and his commitment for each and every one of you. Amen. One of our deacons is going to pray God's blessing on the bread and the wine.
Let's pray. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusted in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much to gather up the crumbs under your table. But you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through by his most precious blood.
Yes.
And that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen.
Amen. On the night that our Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, gathered around a table with his disciples, he took bread, and after giving thanks, he said to them, "Take and eat, for this is my body, which is broken, given for you. This do ye in remembrance of me." Amen. Churches, you're now served with what represents the body of Jesus that was given for us on the cross of Calvary. Please do eat as you receive it and be thankful in your hearts. Has everyone been served who wants to partake? If you haven't, then please do raise your hand. Okay. In like manner, he then took the cup and he said these words, "This cup is the new covenant." Have you not been served? Sorry. Oh, no, they're coming. The cups are coming. In like manner, he then took the cup and he said these words, "This cup is the new covenant that will now be in my blood. This do ye, as often as you drink of it, do it in remembrance of me. For as often as we eat from the bread and we drink from this cup, we do show forth and proclaim the Lord's death until that great promise that he will one day make his return." Amen. As you are now served with what represents the blood of Jesus, was shed on the cross of Calvary for our sins, please do retain your cups until we've all been served, and then we'll drink together, the sign of our unity through Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
Bible lets us know that when a man, a woman, husband and wife come together, they become one flesh. But spiritually, when we come to Jesus through the life gate that he is, then we become one with God. We become sons and daughters of God. Isn't that wonderful? We are children of God. Let's drink together the blood of Jesus, forgiveness of our sins. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for this service today. We thank you for worship and praise that we've been able to express from our hearts to you. We thank you for our young people, our children. We thank you for our adults. We thank you for everyone who've been able to participate in this service today. And Lord, as we now prepare to draw this service to a close, we're mindful of your love for us through the cross of Calvary. We thank you that even though at times in life we get relationships wrong, even at times, Lord, we go outside of your original plan and intention for us, but that does not stop you from loving us. You love us so much, unconditionally, without condition. And we thank you for your love. And we pray as we leave this place now that we too would seek to love you more and more each and every day, not just by word, but also through action. Help us to demonstrate the love of God and the love of Christ, not just for ourselves, but also with each other. Despite our differences of opinion, despite, Lord, our differences in preferences, we pray that we would model the love of Christ to each and every one. So as we leave this place now, but never depart from your presence, until we meet again, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen. Please do join us in the lounge for teas and coffees. God bless you all.
In the darkest night, you are close.